The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the house. How you doing, Kelly? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing very well. It's Thursday. Unscripted with the Crack Man. Although Crack, you know what Crack did say to me? He said, oh, I've got a list.
Ooh.
I don't know what the list is. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to make it about plus 135 that he wrote that list is going to remember every item today. It's a bit of a dog.
Okay, I'm going to go with minus 200 that in the final segment, he's like, yo,
I got five things.
Yeah, I got four things to roll through here.
So we look forward to that, as we always do on Thursday. Zach Cohen will join us, not only Hardwood Handicappers co-host with Kelly and JVT, but also, of course, some Australian Open thoughts from him as we head in to the men's semis tonight. Finally, Kelly, I bit a little more off than I could chew last night. We had our first losing tennis day in a week. I had both of the dogs. Both were right around plus 180. Coco couldn't get there. She lost 7-6, 6-4 to Aryna Sabalenka. And Diana Yastremska, the magic carpet ride came to an end. Zhang Xinwen taking her down 6-4, 6-4. This just in. Plus 180 dogs are going to always get home. So we finally had a losing day on that. I think I will have one play tonight. It's probably going to be a total. That will be at VSiN.com/picks. And again, I apologize. Usually we have tennis plays here on the air, but because of the time zone difference, that's just how the show and handicapping schedule works out. The good news is about these games tonight, about these matches tonight, is that we actually get to see one of them because the women's semifinals were in the dead of the night last night. We get to see Novak Djokovic and Jannik Sinner at a normal American time. That'll be about 7 p.m. Pacific, so around 10 p.m. Eastern time. One of the semis, the marquee matchup, if you will. Joker, the short shot to win this. Jannik Sinner, at worst, the third or fourth best tennis player in the world, who, along with Carlitos Alcaraz, will be tennis for a generation to come, or at least a decade to come. This should be fantastic tonight. Djokovic, Sinner in one, and then Medvedev and Sasha Zverev in the other one. So again, that'll be at VSiN.com/picks. Sabalenka and Zhang Xinwen in the women's final. Zhang Xinwen, who we've talked about here on A Numbers Game from a long time ago. Any match she's in, by the way, you should really watch. That's going to be a titanic battle of heavy hitters on the women's side. That's going to be tomorrow. We'll talk about that on the show. But the men's semis tonight.
Can I make a comment about Zverev real quick?
Sure.
Of some tennis stats that I definitely don't know but feel like I know.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like every time we talk about a Grand Slam, he's like 10th on the odds list when we're going in.
Fourth or fifth.
And like every Grand Slam, I feel like he's in the quarterfinals or semifinals somehow. Yeah.
He's what? The fifth or sixth best player in the world. But like, that's the amazing thing about tennis, right? Like, right. I always tell this story, like the guys in your high school who can beat everybody in the city, they get to college and it's like, oh man. Or even if you know the guys that end up number one singles at like a big D1 university, mm-hmm. like I knew guys who were number one at UVA and Navy where I grew up. I went to high school with them. I was like, oh, I saw him at the DC tour stop, like, you know, 3-4 years later. Hey, you guys going pro? They're like laughing at me. Like, are you kidding? Those guys can crush me. And they're talking about like the 300th, 400th, 500th person in the world could crush them. Imagine getting to the top 10 and like a guy like Rublev, who's like easily a top 10 player for years now, cannot get past the quarters of any of these slams to save his life because the guys above him are that much better than him.
It's so incredible. It's so well put. It's so, I mean, it's been the state of tennis now for a while, yes. Right? I mean, really going back to Federer, but it's think you incredible. Just put that well, and it's crazy to see play out every Grand Slam.
Yeah. Novak Djokovic is, he's not a great player. He's a god. And Jannik Sinner, we'll try to take him down tonight. And he does have a puncher's chance. For sure he does.
Let's go Novak.
So I'll have one. You got the Novak future,
yeah,
right?
Grab that future in the middle of the Alcaraz matchup.
So that's our first, last night again, first losing tennis day in a week on that. Kelly is killing it in baloncesto and the old basketball. What is your run now in basketball?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. should have been more prepared for this. What did I text you last night? So it was always one of those, like, I don't know if you do the same thing, but you know when you're like, you know when you're hot and like, and you don't
really, best feeling.
It's the best, but you don't really want to look at the record yet until like you kind of plateau or something like that. Cause it's just like you feel, I don't know.
Can I tell them what your record is? Cause I got your record.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
From the start of the NBA season to December 29th, you were up 4.2 units. Nice. Okay, great. Since December 29th to now, you're 33-14 for over 25 units.
Yeah.
Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Beeson.com/picks.
Been a hell of a month. Yeah, I mean, this is, and I want to pull up, Zach's coming on next. It's combined hardwood handicappers all together. It's like 68 units or something up for the year. So
now, is that a early season regular thing for you?
Yeah. We've talked about this at different times, but and Drew's talked about this too when he's been on. I don't know if you remember, probably about a month ago, he and I both kind of said the same thing about the only thing that was a little bad about the in-season tournament was throwing off some of the rest differential stuff. Mm-hmm. So in the past, I have one of these good streaks and it feels like a good streak and a bad streak almost every season, like mixed in there. And often to me, it comes in December or January, but usually for me, it's been in December. I think the in-season tournament threw that stuff off a little bit, backed it up. Now you're in January, but just able to take advantage of some of these rest advantage situations. Now you're at the point where far enough into the season that you've got a pretty good feel for teams. You've got plenty of numbers to go off of. So it's been great. It's been a great time to bet.
Only two games tonight. You have anything?
I do have I have two bets tonight, more than two games tonight.
Oh, I thought there was only two.
We've got a crowded Thursday slate, actually. There are seven games tonight.
Oh, for Thursdays, it is crowded. My bad.
No, yeah, it is.
I assumed Thursday night football's done, so they spread it out more now.
Yeah. And the NBA scheduling's just gotten a little bit more balanced period this year for some reason. I don't really know why. So I am on the Celtics. I laid 6.5 last night. It's out to 7.5, 8. I think that's fair. I'm also not going to be shocked if the Heat just outright win that game after losing to the Grizzlies like C squad yesterday. That was really bad. And then I'm on the Kings at night against the Warriors. Warriors, that game last night.
See Kuminga last night?
Yeah, he was incredible. That game last night was incredible. But the emotional toll that takes out of a team. And now you got to come back the next night, face a Kings team. Neither one of these teams playing really that great right now. But Sacramento, Golden State has the worst defense since January 1st in the league. And yes, I know Draymond missed some time. But Sacramento rolling in there, I think after a night like that Golden State had to go through, I think there's a little bit of an edge to the Sacramento side.
11-for-11 last night for the field, 25 points. And there was Murray on the other side of the court. They've been rumored to have that trade possibility. We'll see. The biggest news in sports, at least in American sports last night, of course, or yesterday, Jim Harbaugh inks the deal. I like when you ink a deal because there's actual ink involved. You ink a deal, same way you install a point spread. You ink the deal. He got a 5-year deal. We don't know the exact terms. We just know 5 years. Very, very shit, you know. Kind of hush hush on the number.
The ink the deal, by the way, that is the, I'm going to pull the curtain back. This is the TV writer's way of basically avoiding writing the same thing over and over again. So you just use a different term.
It's like when there's a fire, they always eventually use the word blaze in a second or third sentence to avoid using the word fire. That's right. And no one in real life ever says, you see the blaze over there? Jim Harbaugh, 5 years with the Los Angeles Chargers. This is, and I saw Bill Barnwell write about this morning, which says, you know, short of Bill Belichick, the best hire you can make. I will go ahead and say it's the best hire. And that is no slight to Bill Belichick, who's obviously on the Mount Rushmore. But Jim Harbaugh is how I judge what makes a great coach, which is, have you done it in multiple places or have you done it with different types of personnel? We can't say that about Bill Belichick. Doesn't take anything away from him. Still all-time great. Had Tom Brady, though. Jim Harbaugh, San Diego. University of San Diego, Stanford, San Francisco 49ers, Michigan. It doesn't matter. He has been spectacular, whether it was Andrew Luck, Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick. Harbaugh took a San Diego team, University of San Diego team that never won double-digit games, got them there in his second or third season. Stanford, they were 1-11 when he took them over. Year three, They were 12-1 in his fourth and final season with the school, winning record in year three, and then 12-1. Michigan took a while, but they inherited a 5-7 team from Brady Hoke, got him a national championship. And so now, you know, and the Niners, by the way, 9-23 with Derek, with Dennis Erickson, 18-37 with Mike Nolan, 18-22 with Mike Singletary. Zero winning seasons in the process. Then Harbaugh takes them over. They're in the Super Bowl in the second year, for goodness sakes. They lose to his brother, John Harbaugh, and the Ravens. He was 44-19 as the Niners coach. By the way, college record, 144-42. But mainly it's like the Gibbs that you, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. Take a pocket passer. He was mobile too, but typically people don't think of Alex Smith as mobile first. Made him from a very inefficient, poor quarterback into a good one. From an interception rate of 2.9% to a league best 1.1%. 60% completion rate and 7.0 yards per attempt for the first time in his pro career. Alex Smith was 19-31. Then when Harbaugh was his coach, he was 13-3. And then to get to the to take them through the playoffs, Colin Kaepernick's greatest performance against the Packers was under Harbaugh, a quarterback where they adjusted with Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator into the pistol. That is what makes a great coach. And so the Chargers, spectacular hire, obviously, and from a Harbaugh's perspective, he probably will be able to control personnel decisions to a degree, because this was the only opening where that person isn't in place before him as the coach. And so that's probably a huge appeal factor for Jim Harbaugh as well. Good on the Chargers. Their season win total is going to be a bevy of overs for everybody. The public is going to want to bet them over. We'll see what it's installed at. Chargers 25-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Yep. I think the biggest point of this too is Justin Herbert is the best coach he's ever had.
And obviously you have the franchise quarterback in place.
And any questions we've had about him, this is the best coach he's ever had.
Good on the Chargers. Wish the Commodores had gotten him. We'll come back. Zach Cohen on the Australian Open and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game live from Bar Canada here at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Hey, don't forget, with all that's going on here, we got a whole bunch of new stuff happening, including, well, the VSiN Pro subscription, where we put all the experts to work for you. If you want to start betting smarter, you can sign up on a new VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199 just by using the promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website, plus our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG.
That's ANG, as in eight numbers game, Gil.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book Scola. Good morning, Gil. Good morning, Snakes. Good morning to you, Scola. Mike Zills, Duke 90. Speaking of ACC tennis, I tried club tennis at Duke. Basically, 20 guys who didn't get along with a varsity coach. I went twice and quit when I figured I was lucky to win 3 points a set. It's so true, man. And Andy Vigil says, have you noticed we might be seeing a suppressed money line on the Ravens side this weekend? I'm seeing a -192 at DraftKings on the Ravens, while they're a 3.5, -115 favorite nearly across the board. That should easily be -200 on the money line, if not higher. And this gets back to, we couched as Super Bowl betting behavior, but yes, it does bleed into championship week, where we talked about this yesterday. No one really knows why the behavior of the public changes when betting a dog. Typically during the regular season, they'll take the dog with the points. Here, when we get into the business side of the postseason, they'll take the dog on the money line, and that will create a suppressed money line on favorites. Been going on for 25 years, and as Andy points out there on Twitter, we're seeing that with the Ravens. Zach Cohen joins us now, ladies and gentlemen. He is a senior editor here at VSiN.com. He is a co-host of Hardwood Handicappers. God, he knows himself some tennis, knows basketball, knows football, knows all kinds of sports. He joins us now. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. How about you?
We're doing well. We've dubbed it Zach and Crack Thursdays now. Zach and Crack. You like that?
I love it. Yeah, I like it.
You like Zach and Crack, or Crack and Zach? What do you like? It's up to you.
I'll let him go first. If you know, I don't have a big ego. If he wants to go first, he can go first.
Yeah, Crack and Zach it is. Greg and Zach. All right, let's start with tennis. Australian Open. It is Aryna Sabalenka and Zhang Xinwen in the ladies' finals. And now we have the men's semis where we actually get to watch one of these because we didn't last night because they're in the middle of the night. But it is Sinner, Djokovic for all of us to see this evening, followed by Medvedev and Sasha Zverev. What do you like tonight? Let's start there.
I mean, I have futures in this at play here, so I need Sinner and Medvedev to advance to set up a really good situation for myself. I have Sinner at plus 700, and I have a half unit on Medvedev at plus 1100, so I could set up a really nice final, both of them advance. But if you're just looking to play this tonight, I either like Sinner on the money line, or I like the over 39 and a half games.
In that particular match, okay. Any preliminary thoughts on the Sabalenka-Zhang Xinwen final?
I would be pretty surprised if Sabalenka lost, but you know, the spread made it a pretty hard match to bet. I think if I had to take something, I'd probably go Zhang, like +1.5 sets at plus money odds. But I like Sabalenka to win that match. It's pretty crazy to see a final with that big of, you know, an odds difference.
Yeah, it's funny too, because by the way, that number on that is -556 on Sabalenka, which if I'm hearing what you're dropping there, I agree with you. It seems a little high. She should be absolutely the favorite in this. It's interesting for Zhang Xinwen too, because it's not one of her best tournaments either. Like the way that she's played, she's had some wobbly performances, and yet here she is in her first Grand Slam final. Basketball. You are the co-host of Hardwood Handicappers. We're just talking about how the big run that Kelly's been on. All y'all have been doing great on this podcast. You have a play tonight in the NBA.
Yeah, I have the Knicks tonight. I'm actually playing them on the money line. They're playing the Nuggets at the end of a five-game road trip. Meanwhile, the Knicks have played like once in the last five days. That game was in Brooklyn, so it's not like they had to travel all that far. I think their rest, you know, is going to be on New York's side. And I also kind of like the matchup for the Knicks. They don't really have anyone to guard Joker tonight. You know, Mitchell Robinson's out indefinitely still. Isaiah Hartenstein's a little banged up. But they're capable of guarding everybody else at a really high level, which is something that we've seen teams do to the Nuggets. Gets in the playoffs anyway. So, you know, Joker, go get your 40, go get your 45. We're not going to let anyone else beat us. And I think the Knicks are really well equipped to do that. They can throw OG Anunoby on Jamal Murray. And I actually like the way the Knicks are playing offensively. And obviously this is a team that 10-2 straight up, 9-3 against the spread in their last 12 games. I think they'll be fired up, ready to go. They haven't beaten many great opponents since getting Anunoby. This is kind of their chance to do it.
You, by the way, you can follow Zach. I should mention his Twitter, Betting on X, one of the finest Twitter handles there are, or X handles, Betting on X. NFL Championship Sunday. First game, AFC Ravens, 3.5-point favorites, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. It still remains consensus 3.5 right now. Totals at 44.5. Which way have you decided to go on this, or have you backed off this entirely?
I wrote this up for VSiN.com. I'm pretty high on the Ravens at -3.5. I think that they're kind of trying to get you to take the Chiefs with that hook. I think that, you know, this is a game where I'm really expecting the Ravens defense to show up in a big way. I know that Mahomes and that offense have looked a lot better since the start of the playoffs, which, you know, doesn't surprise anybody. But I still think that what we saw for a majority of the regular season is really hard to ignore. And you're now facing a team that, you know, really should be able to stop them. I think that also the defensive line of the Ravens and the ability to get pressure on the quarterback back's going to be big against a Chiefs team that has, you know, a middle of the pack offensive line, probably closer to below average. And then I also think the Ravens are really going to be able to run the football. The Chiefs were just 27th in the league in DVOA against the run this season. The Ravens obviously like to pound away, so I think that Baltimore is going to be able to control the clock, you know, move the chains. And I also kind of like a play on Gus Edwards over 38.5 rushing yards, because I do think that they're going to run the ball with some success here, and I think that he's probably their most reliable between the tackles runner. I know that they're trying to get, you know, the young whippersnapper Dalvin Cook some touches, but I think it'll be Gus Edwards that gets a majority of the touches.
Bring up Owen Wright from the practice squad, Kelly. That's what I always say.
Let's go.
Bring up Owen. By the way, which sport do you enjoy writing about the most, Zach? I've never asked you this since you write about so many.
I enjoy writing about basketball the most. Basketball is definitely my favorite sport. Tennis has kind of been one where it kind of came out of nowhere, where I think that I found the most success betting it. I think that there are a lot of exploitable scenarios in tennis that people should really be jumping on. I think that with this VSiN Pro subscription, people are going to see that, you know, you and I are posting, you know, picks all the time.
Yeah, all the time. I thought Zach was about to spit some Curtis Blow lyrics there for a second when he said basketball was his favorite sport. You know about that, Kelly?
No, I don't. No?
Okay.
You should check out some of Zach's rest of world NBA draft prospect articles. That's the deep stuff right there.
Get out. You do that as well. Wow.
I do.
Okay. Let's go to the NFC Championship, where the Niners remain touchdown favorites hosting the Detroit Lions. First time in 30 years for the Lions. Oh, Lions fans are so pumped that they're in the championship game of their conference. Did you play anything here?
I didn't. I'm kind of tempted to lay the points with the 49ers because, you know, it's road Goff in a game where the Niners are coming off a really bad performance. I think people are probably lowest on them now as they'll probably be the rest of the way. I think that Purdy will probably play a better game than we saw last week. I'm not high on him. I know that you guys aren't as well, but I do think that this is a spot where I think it's almost a buy low for San Francisco and a really good opportunity for them to go out and, you know, win a game rather easily.
Yeah, we had Cleve T.A., one of the great football follows there is on Twitter. He was on the Beating the Book Championship Megapod yesterday. It's available where our podcasts are available. And he was talking about he's really on the Niners too. And one of the big tenets of what he was saying was, you know, the Lions' offensive strength is to exploit the middle of the football field. And that's where the Niners happen to be really strong on defense. Now, that isn't to say that the Lions won't be able to get their yards in the running game. But that doesn't necessarily translate to victories, moving the chains like that. You'd think it does, but it really, really it doesn't. That's, you know, you can withstand that. It's just the big chunk plays you don't want to give up. And so the Niners' strength happens to match the Lions' strength. That's part of his handicapping tenet as well. That sounds reasonable to you?
Yeah, it does. And actually, I've seen a lot of people that are on like Jahmyr Gibbs player props and stuff like that. I have no, you know, problems with that. I just do think that this is a game ultimately that I expect the Niners to probably win by, I don't know, it's hard to say to win by more than a touchdown, but I do think that they probably will.
Yeah, Niners. Niners right now, 7-point favorites, as we said. We still don't know about Debo. Probably won't find out till, who knows, maybe even till that morning. Won't find about Debo. So in the end then, Zach, I only have you here for 30 more seconds. Who wins it all, in your opinion, if I had to just put you to that right now?
I'm going with the Ravens. I think the Ravens have been the best team all year, and I think that they are going to do it. I think that the Niners have shown over these last, you know, few months, honestly, that there are some weaknesses to exploit in their defense, and I think that the Ravens are the most well-rounded football team.
Okay. Maybe this is the same answer, but I just want to ask it a different way. If I came to you on Monday and I said one of the favorites this weekend lost, your answer would be, who did?
I would be more surprised if the 49ers lost, honestly. I know I just said the Ravens are the best team, but obviously there's the Mahomes factor in that AFC Championship game. So you can't be too surprised that the Chiefs do end up winning. They never lose.
I think as long as Mahomes exists, that's probably the right answer, right? The Ravens. Yep. Zach, great talking to you. Enjoy. Good luck with all the bets, man.
Yep. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Cracking Zach on a Thursday. He did say we could say crack first, right? Mm-hmm. Crack and Zach. Okay. Crack coming up. Kelly and I'll talk more NFL on the other side. Some props. Coming up, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter, well, lots of things.
Oh, yeah, we got great stuff in there. We got a little bit of Beating the Book Pod recap in there. We got some betting split systems from Steve Mackinnon. Check it out.
Get expert analysis, latest odds delivered straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. See, I throw it to you on those, thinking that that's your moment to say something, and then it makes it sound like I didn't read the newsletter. See?
Sorry, bro.
Very upsetting. It's very upsetting.
We actually discussed this more this past break than we ever had to.
It's very upsetting. Okay. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Lions Bandwagon Conductor. Lions Bandwagon Conductor. Talking about guessing lines on Monday. He said, Dan Campbell throwing prior to the 2-minute warning really didn't cost them. The 2-minute warning went off during the punt, so it really only cost them 6 seconds or so because Tampa wouldn't have used a timeout prior to the 2-minute warning. You are correct, but with that little time left in the game, 6 seconds, 6-7 seconds is still the possibility of the difference between a win and a loss. So it is still something. Now, I think the better criticism of my criticism of that was, well, going for the win with the pass north of the 2-minute warning there on the third and long is still worth it. Like the chance to win the game right there, clinch the game, is still worth the 6 or 7 seconds that you're giving up. I think that's a valid criticism on that for sure. It's certainly not as egregious as them botching the way that they botched the kneel down at the end of the game. That's for sure. This is from Jesse Welch. While Gil loves the inking of deals, Kelly obviously loves the pulling back of curtains. John Balduzzi, talking about the tennis thing we were talking about. He goes, I went to a small D3 school with great sports. My roommate broke every D3 tennis record there was. His brother is Jean-Julien Roger. He said he could never beat him, even when Jean-Julien was in high school and he was in college. Some people are just born that way. Michael Burns, Zach doing his spot in an empty room at the new crib. Sounds like he's in a stairwell of his old apartment building. And DP Bet Sports, Zach and Crack sounds better than Crack and Zach. I think he's right. Zach and Crack. It's better. Rolls off the tongue.
I like it, yeah. Yeah. Like it.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, it just sounds like, you know, there's other ways to take crack, right? Like,
that's right.
Sounds like Zach and Zach's partying.
One more thing about the Harbaugh thing, Jim Harbaugh again, going to the Los Angeles Chargers, because you cannot speak more highly of his coaching prowess. You might find his personality quirky, whatever, but the record speaks for itself, both at a college and pro level, no matter the type of system quarterback that he had. There's also this thing now, does he bring Greg Roman back, who he had so much success with at Stanford and with the Niners as his OC? And the interesting thing yesterday is that the Dolphins parted ways with Vic Fangio, their defensive coordinator, yesterday. And that was, I don't know if you saw that coming. I certainly didn't.
Nope.
But if you read the articles about it, people still say articles, by the way.
Sure.
When you read the articles about it, it really was a personality thing. Like, Fangio just is one of these coaches where he does it his way. And even if the players clamor to do it a different way, or if Mike McDonald wants to say something, who actually, you know, is the head coach, apparently, like, Fangio wasn't open to any of that. And McDaniel still felt like he didn't really have the ear of Fangio. And so anyway, they parted ways. And so the assumption is that Fangio is now going to be the defensive coordinator with the Philadelphia Eagles. What if Harbaugh, and I think Barnwell even mentioned this, what if Harbaugh, because Fangio was his guy in San Francisco, what if Harbaugh stepped in and was like, hey, Vic, want to come over here? Could you imagine that?
Oh, man.
Tandem?
I thought the Eagles stuff was like official.
Is it official this morning?
No.
I don't think it's official.
No, you're right.
It's speculation. But it's, yeah, I mean, that's,
I mean,
the assumption.
Reports out there,
the assumption is that it's going to happen. Yeah. Right.
No, but that is.
But until the deal is inked, Kelly.
That's right. Until
the ink is on
the
paper.
Until the ink is dry.
That's right. Until the ink is dry. So anyway, it's just, anyway, good on the Chargers. And yes, will the betting public, you know, immediately go overs on everything or bet them to win things? Sure. Listen, not every stop that Harbaugh, you know, went to, did it happen immediately? Like, San Francisco was the quickest, right? It happened in 2 years. Certainly on the college level, it happened quickly. But does he win a Super Bowl the first year? No, probably not. I mean, we're not really jumping on making a bold statement with that.
Yeah, and then, you know, as high as we all were on this division, what was it, last year, right? It was the division of death going in there.
Oh.
I mean, it might not be that, but you still have Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs to deal with.
Sure.
As well as, you know, whatever Denver does, I don't think anybody's expecting that defense to be terrible or go away anytime soon.
By the way, Brian Callahan, Bill Callahan's son, hired as the new coach. From being the offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals, he becomes the Tennessee Titans head man now. So 4 of the 8 vacancies now have been filled. Obviously, Gerard Mayo in New Orleans, Antonio Pierce with the Raiders. 4 remain. 4 remain. And Bill Belichick is still out there. Do you think Bill Belichick, if you gave him truth serum, is a little surprised at how narrow the interest is in him?
Okay, so I was just going to ask you that kind of in a different way. I was going to say, have you been surprised with the limited number of, you know, meetings he's taken?
Or maybe it's that way. Maybe he's just like, he made it, maybe made it aware that he's not interested in all these others.
I have a feeling there's more of that going on. Like, he probably has a list of teams just, sorry, I'm not interested in this at all.
Could very well be.
I don't really understand the attraction to Atlanta as much as there seems to be.
And we have friends who are like, oh, what are you talking about? If they just get a quarterback. And I'm just like, what quarterback?
But, like, easier said than done, right? Like, how often do we...
They don't drop off trees.
Right. How often do we talk about that on this show? It's like, of how hard it is to find a quarterback.
And even if you say, like, Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, so you think you win a Super Bowl immediately if Kirk Cousins is the quarterback? Like, why do you think that?
I love Kirk Cousins. No.
Yeah.
Like, no.
It's just so interesting.
I mean, sure, I think that takes them to...
Makes you better.
That takes them to a right, probably the rightful favorite in the NFC South.
Right. Like, you had Desmond Ritter and Taylor Heineke, and you're in the NFC South. Sure, you're the favorite in the NFC South. Great.
Yeah. I mean, no, you're right. Anybody with a capable arm that can actually get the ball to Pitts and Drake London, yes, that would be an upgrade from what you've had the past couple years. But there's that part of it too, where he's taken multiple meetings over multiple weeks. So I'm like,
Atlanta's interviewing others too, by the way.
Right. So every time I think about this, I'm like, has Belichick just been dialed in there? And is this basically just done with Atlanta and they're trying to exhaust the process?
I don't know. You say this too. And of course, the media thing in this day and age is that people immediately come back. Oh, you're being ageist. Not being ageist. If you're a professional franchise and, you know, Jim Harbaugh is 60, Bill Belichick is 72.
Yeah.
71, 72.
We brought this up earlier in the week.
Yeah.
It's completely fair to say.
It's, you know, look, there is a longer runway, you know, and that's just how it is. And so you have to consider those things for your franchise.
I mean, no matter what Belichick is telling you, it is, you don't know where he's going to be at 2 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now.
And who could possibly
blame the guy?
Who could blame him?
So I even think more when you're talking about a team like Atlanta and you have some of those younger pieces, like, that's where I think Harbaugh is great for the Chargers, right? You still have a younger quarterback who's on the rise. Yeah. Like, they can all go through this together for the next several years.
Absolutely. We have, 5 days to talk about the championship games, 2 games, and we have 10 after that to talk about the Super Bowl. So we try to get to all kinds of different props. Obviously, one that exists this weekend, as we've talked about in the previous playoff weekends, the championship round highest scoring team, the championship round lowest scoring team, highest scoring team. And again, these will be correlated with your team totals. The Niners team total, just to let you know, 29 in their game against Detroit. Baltimore's 24.5 in their game against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 20.5. And Detroit, by the way, 21.5. Right before them. So that is why you see them in this order, right? 49ers are the favorite at -120. And based on the scoring difference that I just mentioned, that's why you see them at -120. Ravens are 3-1. Lions just edging out the Chiefs, edging them out in what the team total is as well. 5-1 versus +550. Would you make a bet here?
I would not in this one. The lowest scoring market interests me a little bit more. However, I'll point out that I think this is another one where if I was betting the Lions this week, I'm sprinkling a little money in this market. I think if the Lions are beating the 49ers, they're putting up a big number.
Yeah, the thing about this is you always have to check the limits on this and if it's worth betting by proxy. So what Kelly just said is if this is the proper bet to make, if your handicap is that you think the Lions are going to beat the Niners outright, well, the Lions are +281 on the money line to beat the Niners. They're 5-1 to be the highest scoring team. Is it worth you, if you have the Lions to beat the Niners handicap, would you just want to stick with the +281 then? Or do you think they're going to be the highest scoring team of the weekend? Is it worth going trying for the 5-1? Or maybe you sprinkle a little on both. So use these markets as proxy your handicaps.
I would approach that more. If I felt that way, it would be the bulk on the money line still with just a sprinkle in this.
I was just saying.
Yeah.
The reverse of this, lowest scoring team, Chiefs are the short shot. Lions, Ravens, Niners 8-1.
I think Ravens at 3-1 is interesting there.
Oh, yeah. Because the Ravens are, you can imagine a dud is what you're saying?
I can imagine a tight, lower scoring game with both these defenses. And yes, Mahomes pulls out a W in the end.
Spagnola's going to bring the kitchen sink against Lamar. It's going to be fascinating. We'll come back. Crack next.